Hello everyone, hope you're all doing well. We're going to continue with our study of Zephaniah, and now we have reached chapter 3, so we're going to be looking at chapter 3 today. And we have been talking about Zephaniah and how he has been warning the people of Jerusalem and then also other countries about how if they don't repent, the day of the Lord will come and God will judge them. And now we're in the last chapter of Zephaniah, Zephaniah chapter 3, and we're just going to be looking at the first two verses today. And I don't know about you guys, but I hate it when people correct me, whether it's my grammar, whether it's something that I'm doing wrong, whether it's in cooking when my wife corrects me, or whether it's at school when I'm teaching and I made a mistake and someone corrects me, or whether it's when I'm playing sports and someone says, "Hey, you're doing that wrong," or "You broke this rule," or there are so many areas in our life when we get corrected, but if you're like me, you usually don't like to be corrected. But the problem is if we continue to do something wrong, especially in certain areas of our life, they can have really long-lasting and far-reaching effects. So, for example, I teach math, and I know I teach high school math and upper-level math, and I've had students before who never listened to their teachers when they taught them how to add or subtract or multiply or divide. And since they never listened to the correction and accepted the correction, now that they're up in the upper grades, they're making some really, really easy mistakes, and then that's making it so they can't understand the more complex problems, and they're having a lot more problems in the future and suffering a lot when it could have been a lot easier if they would have just listened to correction earlier on. Some people have really bad posture. I many times have bad posture. And if you don't listen to your parents or other people and they tell you, "Hey, sit up straight. Hey, put those shoulders back." There are a lot of people later on in life that have serious back issues and other issues because they didn't listen to correction and it had some really far-reaching effects. Some people eat the wrong things and people tell them, their doctors tell them, their friends tell them, "Hey, you shouldn't eat too much of that. Hey, you shouldn't eat too much of that." And later on in life, they have some really serious health problems because they didn't listen to correction. And here in Zephaniah chapter 3, this is exactly what God is telling the leaders of Jerusalem. He's telling them your response to correction has really far-reaching consequences. And this is, I think, especially important for people that are still young. Because right now you are developing habits, you're developing decision-making skills, thought processes, that down the road, if you don't correct them now, they can have some really serious consequences on your physical and emotional well-being, but even more importantly than that, on your relationship with God and on the way that you will honor Him with the rest of your life. So if you don't listen to correction now, whether it's the correction of your friends or teachers or pastors or parents, or most importantly, the correction of God's Word, it can have some really far-reaching consequences. On the other hand, if you do listen to that correction and you seek God's help to change, that can also have some really far-reaching consequences in the future if you develop good habits and good ways of thinking and good decision-making skills. So let's go ahead and look at just three different things in these two verses about three different choices we are going to make now that will affect us in the future, have far-reaching effects, three different ways we can respond to correction. So Zephaniah 3 verse 1 says, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city." The first thing we see here is that when God corrects us or others correct us, we have a choice between two options. We can either submit to God's correction and realize, yes, I need to listen to Him. He is my authority. I need to submit to Him. Or we can rebel. Jerusalem, during this period of their life, the leaders of Jerusalem thought, you know what, we're in charge of this city. We're the leaders. We can do whatever we want. And so, like it says here, they oppressed other people. They defiled the city. Because instead of realizing, yeah, I might be the mayor, I might be on the city council, I might be a leading businessman in the city, I might be a boss or in charge of something, but ultimately, God is my authority. And I have to submit myself to Him. He is the one that has the right to tell myself to me what to do. I can't do whatever I want to do with other people with this position of authority. But these people refuse to submit to God. They refuse to recognize that God had the right to tell them what to do. They refuse to recognize that others had the right to tell them what to do, and they refuse to submit to God's authority. And because of that, God says, woe to you. You're going to face some serious, far-reaching consequences. In their case, they were going to be taken into captivity. Many of them were going to be killed. They were going to have a huge effect on their children and on their grandchildren and on the people around them, on their entire nation, because they refused to recognize that God is their authority and God has the right to tell them what to do. And all of us have that choice, to either submit to God or to rebel against God. None of us like to submit to other people. We all like to think that we can do what we want to do. We all like to think that we know what is best. We all like to think that I have the right to do what I want to do. I don't have to listen to anyone. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. I am in charge of my life. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I used to play a game with my brothers or sisters or friends where we would grasp each other's hands like this, and then we would start to bend. And whoever was stronger would start to bend the other person's wrist back and back and back until there was more and more pain. And usually in this game, I would be the weaker person, and normally it would be my older brother or an older friend who was stronger than me, or the same age friend or younger friend who was stronger than me. And they would bend my wrist back, and I would be in more and more and more pain. But the whole time I would think, you know what, I can withhold this. I can win this, even though it was obvious that I wasn't going to win, even though it was obvious that the longer I refused to say, okay, I give up, I was going to be more and more and more pain. Many times I would just refuse to submit because I thought, I can win this. I'm in charge. I don't want to have to say I submit to anyone. And I would experience a whole lot of pain and discomfort, and who knows what kind of long-lasting arthritis I'm going to get down the road because I refused to say I give in until the pain was just unbearable. And sadly, that's how it is a lot of times with us. We want to think that we don't have to submit to anyone, that we can do whatever we want, that we don't have to listen to our parents, that they don't really know what they're talking about, they don't understand us, they live in a totally different age, we don't have to listen to our friends, they don't understand what we're going through, they don't have any right to tell us what to do anyway, we don't have to listen to our teachers, I mean, they mess up too, we don't have to listen to our pastor, he's old, or he's a sinner too, and we think, I don't have to listen to anyone, I don't have to submit to anyone, I can do whatever I want to do because I know what's best. I am the authority of my life. I'm not going to submit to anyone. But God says to Israel again here, woe to you if you're rebellious. You have the choice. You can either submit to the God and the other authorities that God has put in your life, realizing that they are there for our good and our benefit, and God has a purpose in giving us authority. Or I can rebel and say, I'm not going to listen to any authority because I know what's best. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about how important it is for us to make that decision to submit. And in 1 Peter 5:5 it says, likewise, you who are younger, be subjects to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. It takes a lot of humility to listen to other people and accept correction. It takes a lot of humility to say, my boss is the boss, and whether or not I agree or disagree with him, whether or not I think I'm smarter than him or not, I'm going to submit to his authority. I'm going to say, he is in charge, I'm not. Whether or not I agree with my parents or whether or not they're perfect, I'm going to say, you know what? While I live under their roof, I need to obey them. I need to submit to them. I need to allow them to be the authority in my life. While I'm in this class, whether or not I like this teacher, whether or not I think they're fair, I need to submit to them and say, they are the authority. I am not. Whether I think my pastor is boring or whether I enjoy it, whether I agree with everything he says or not, it's my responsibility to submit to him because God has put this pastor in my life to help me grow, and I need to realize they are the authority. And more than anything else, we need to realize God is my ultimate authority. And I need to submit myself to what he says in his word. Whether or not I like it, whether or not I think it is best, I need to realize God is in charge, not me. And I need to willingly say, okay, God, you're in charge. I'm going to accept your authority, and I'm going to put myself under your authority, and whoever you place in my life as an authority, whether it's the government, whether it's a boss, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a parent, whether it's a pastor, I'm going to realize that you have placed those authorities in my life. So the first choice we have is to rebel or submit. If you choose to take that attitude of I'm not going to submit to anyone, I'm in charge of my life, there's going to be some long-lasting consequences. Many people have suffered so much because they refuse to submit to God and to the authorities He has placed in our life. On the other hand, if as a young person right now you realize, you know what, I'm going to say right now I am going to put myself under God's authority. I'm going to admit that whoever God has placed in my life as an authority, they're in charge, not me. And whether or not I like it or agree with it, I'm going to submit myself to them. Your life will be a lot better in the long run. So we have the choice now. Are we going to submit or are we going to rebel? Our response to correction has far-reaching consequences. Secondly, if we continue reading in verse 2, it says, she listens to no voice, she accepts no correction. Since the leaders of Jerusalem had already decided, I'm going to rebel against God, I'm in charge of my life, I'm not going to listen to him or any other authority, I'm going to do what I want because I'm in charge, then obviously they're not going to listen to God, they're not going to listen to the prophets, they're not going to listen to any authority that God brings into their life, because they've already decided that they're their own authority. If you're not willing to recognize that other people are in charge, not you, especially God, if you think you're in charge, if you think you always know what's best, if you refuse to humble yourself and you think, my parents don't know anything, my pastor doesn't know anything, my teachers don't know anything, the government doesn't know anything, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, then obviously when they come to you and say, hey, I think you should do this, or hey, I think you're not doing this right, you're not going to listen to them. You're going to ignore them. And this is the second choice we have. First of all, we have the choice to submit to the authority God has placed into our lives or to rebel against them. And based on what we do there, then we have the choice to listen to their correction or ignore their correction. And that's what Jerusalem did, sadly. They chose to ignore God's correction. It says, again, verse 2, she listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. Since she is in charge, Jerusalem is talking about the city, it's personifying the city. Since the leaders of Jerusalem thought they were in charge and they weren't under anyone's authority, then they didn't listen when anyone else talked to them. They thought they knew what's best and they ignored the prophets God sent to them. They ignored the people God sent to them. I just finished a book called Barracoon, and it's about the last slave that was brought from Africa to the United States. It was brought right before the Civil War. And actually, at that point in time, in the early 1800s, even though slavery was still legal, the United States had made it illegal to the slave trade. So you cannot bring people across in a boat and sell them anymore. You could still have slaves if you already had them, but you couldn't buy any new slaves after the early 1800s. But a lot of people broke this law, and there was a ship captain who actually just made a bet. He said, hey, I bet you I could bring slaves and not get in trouble. And he's the one that ended up bringing this slave across to America. And that slave trader refused to submit to the authority, and he refused to listen to anything the authority said. So when the authorities of their day and the Bible and the preachers and abolitionists told him, look, doing slavery is wrong. Buying humans is wrong. This is something that God hates. This is something that's against the law. This is something that is wrong. He ignored them. Why? Because he said, you know what? I'm my own authority. So he wasn't going to listen to anyone when they tried to correct him. And what are the results of that type of thinking when all of those slave owners and slave traders refuse to listen to the scriptures, refuse to listen to the laws, refuse to listen to the abolitionists and their biblical arguments? Well, we know the results. The results were hundreds of years of slavery, a civil war, and even up to today, we're still having riots, all tracing back to those people who refused to listen to God because they thought that they could do what they want. Those consequences were very far-reaching consequences. It might have seemed like a small decision for that person to go and buy those slaves and transport them, but that decision had huge, far-reaching consequences for his own life, for the slaves' lives, and for an entire country and the future of that country. And the same thing with us. When we think that we're in charge of our own lives and we refuse to listen to others, we refuse to listen to correction, when our parents come and say, hey, you shouldn't be dating that person, they're not good for you, we refuse to listen to them, we say, they don't know what they're talking about. There's going to be long-lasting consequences. When our friends come up and say, hey, you shouldn't be eating that so much food, you shouldn't be eating so many sweets, or you should be exercising more, and we refuse to listen to that, there can be long-lasting consequences. When our pastor preaches and tells us, hey, you should be reading God's Word more, you should be careful with what you watch, you should be careful with what you read, you should be getting to know God better, and we say, oh no, I don't have to do those things, I'm fine. And we ignore that correction, it's going to have long-reaching consequences. It's going to affect the people around us. If we get married and have families, it's going to affect them. It's going to affect our nation. It's going to affect our community. It's going to affect our church. When we refuse to listen to correction and ignore it, it has long-reaching consequences. On the other hand, if we listen and say, maybe I do need to get closer to God. Maybe I do need to stop doing this. Maybe I do need to change my habits. And we listen to that correction and we seek God's help to change, that also has far-reaching consequences. That will affect our community, our churches, our nation, your children or grandchildren, your wife or husband. It will have far-reaching consequences if you listen to correction. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 12 says. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Are you always right? Do you always ignore correction? Well, the Bible says you are a fool. If you're really wise, then you will really seriously consider it when someone comes up to you and says, hey, you shouldn't be talking about that. Hey, you shouldn't be going there. Hey, you should be doing this more. If we say, oh no, they don't know what they're talking about, we're foolish. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 17 says. Jeremiah 17, he spoke to many of the same people that Zephaniah was speaking to. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 23, it says, "Yet they did not listen or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, that they might not hear and receive instruction." They just stiffened themselves and said, I don't care what they say, I know I'm right, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this, or whatever. They stiffened themselves against what God was trying to tell them, what their authorities were trying to tell them. And it had long-reaching consequences. In Acts 7, you have Stephen telling the Israelites, look, you guys crucified the King of Glory. You're just like your fathers and the people who came before you who rejected God's prophets. And if you don't change, you're going to have serious consequences. And you know what they did? It says they stopped up their ears. They literally put their hands over the ears and then stoned him because they did not want to listen. They didn't like the fact that Stephen was telling them that they were doing something wrong. And none of us like that. We don't like hearing that we're doing something wrong or that we should be changing something. So we get angry and we don't listen. But that will have far-reaching consequences. So how do we respond to correction? Number one, we can either submit to the authorities God has placed into our life, or we can rebel against them. Number two, we can listen to their correction and seriously consider it and seek God's help to put into action. Or we can ignore it and say, they don't know what they're talking about, I'm fine. And then finally, going back to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 2, it says, she does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. The person who refuses to submit to God and says, I can do whatever I want to do. The person who ignores God and others when they try to correct them, that same person is not going to trust in God. They're going to trust in their own opinion. They're going to trust in their own thing. And they're going to go off their own way. And they're going to get as far away from God and as far away from anyone who tells them they're wrong as they can. And they're going to ignore them. And that's exactly what Jerusalem did. They killed the prophets that came to them. They ignored the prophets. They didn't want anything to do with God. That's why in Josiah's time, the word of God hadn't been read for many, many years, and he had to find it in the ruins of the temple because people didn't want to listen to God anymore, because they knew that God was going to tell them, stop doing what you're doing. So they got as far away from God as they could. They didn't trust in God to help them. They thought they could figure out everything by themselves. And this is our last choice. Number one, how are we going to submit to correction? Are we going to rebel or submit? Number two, are we going to ignore that correction or are we going to listen? And then finally, number three, are we going to retreat from anyone who wants to correct us, or are we going to rely on them and on God to make us better people and more like the Savior? That is going to be our choice. The prodigal son is a perfect example of this. He said, my dad's always telling me what to do. I'm sick and tired of listening to him. I know how to have good time. I know how to live my life. I'm going to go off and live my life by myself. And he got as far away from his dad. It says he went to a far country. He got as far away from his dad, as far away from church, as far away from God as he could. And he thought, I can live life by myself. I don't need to trust in God. I don't need to rely on God. I can get as far away from him as possible. And he ended up feeding pigs. He ended up completely destroying his life, and until he finally realized, I need to repent, I need to listen to my dad, I need to listen to God, I need to get as close to him as possible, because I need him. That's our decision today. Are we going to retreat from the people that correct us and from God, because we don't want to change, because we like our sin, because we want to think in our pride that we're doing everything right? Or are we going to rely on God and those who he puts in our life and get as close to them as possible? Sadly, there are many teenagers that as soon as they graduate from high school, they leave their parents, they leave their churches, they stop reading God's Word, and they think, you know what? I don't have to listen to what they said. They're crazy. They're so strict. They never let me have any fun, and they get as far away. They don't want to listen to their parents anymore, so they get as far away from their parents. They get as far away from church. They get as far away from the Bible or anyone who tells them that they're doing what's wrong. They just stop hanging out with those people. They stop talking to those people. They stop listening to those people. They just surround themselves with people that will tell them what they want to hear. And that's what Jerusalem did. They didn't draw near to God. They didn't rely on God because they thought they could handle life by themselves, and they didn't want to be near anyone who told them that what they were doing was wrong. So the question for us today is how are we going to respond to correction? None of us like it. None of us want to hear that we're doing something wrong or that we should be doing something that we're not doing. We want to think that we're always right, that our opinions are right, that our ideas are right, that our actions are right. But the fact is, we're sinners. And we will do wrong, and that's why we need, number one, God and His Word to correct us. And then we need authorities in our life that we can submit to and listen to and rely on to make us more like Christ. We can only do that with Christ's help. He's the only one that can change our heart to make us submit and listen and rely on Him. So we need to make sure we're saved first, that we've accepted Christ, that He's given us a new heart. And then daily we need to ask God, God, change my heart. I can't do this by myself. I don't want to listen to correction. So please change me and help me not to rebel and say I'm not going to submit to any authority, but instead submit to the authorities God has placed into my life. Help me not to ignore people when they correct me, but instead listen carefully and really consider carefully ways in which I can change and be thankful for correction. And then finally, instead of getting away from people and stopping going to church or stopping listening because we don't like being told that we're wrong, we need to trust and rely on that correction and on God ultimately to change us and to continually change us more and more into His image. The way we respond to correction is going to have far-reaching consequences. So my question for you is, how will you respond to correction today? I'm sure maybe as soon as you finish watching this video, your parents might ask you to do something, or your friend might be texting you and tell you, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing this, or you might go to church this weekend and hear a message and your flesh will be like, oh no, that's not right. I don't think I need to do that. How are you going to respond to correction? I challenge you, respond by submitting, by listening, and by relying, so that in the long term, God can use you greatly. That's my prayer for you guys. God bless you.